servant to Christ and Christ's call in our lives. So this morning, would you all help me in welcoming Mr. Logan Rogers, who comes to be baptized. Come on down, Logan.
Thank you, JT. Good morning. So happy to see you here this morning. You're looking great. You're looking great this morning. I'd like to welcome you, especially if you're our guest. We're so glad and honored that you chose to worship with us this morning. And those of you watching online, thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us. But I'm excited, and I want to hear you sing. So let's stand together as we sing, "There's Within My Heart a Melody." Let's sing it together. Come on.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my
moments and greet somebody around you this morning. Soon he's coming back.
Soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him.
Aren't we thankful for the name of Jesus this morning? Amen. The sweetest name there is, right? So as we continue in worship this morning, let's proclaim that together. Sing this together. Who am I that you, the highest king, would welcome me?
Who the sun sets free,
Isn't it great to know that we can be called children of the Most High God this morning? Our Jesus calls us his own. Let's sing this together.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the crowns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
In mansions of glory,
in mansions.
You may be seated.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Well, I hope you came into this place with excitement and with expectation for the Holy Spirit to move in and among us, because God is always at work in us, amen? He is always at work, and he is devoted to finishing that good work, too. So as we come together in prayer this morning, I wanted to read Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, where Paul writes to the church in Philippi. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I want to invite any of you who would like to come and join us at the altar to come on up, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer together. Let's pray together. Father, you are the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You are the God who saw the Israelites through all of their captivity. You are the God who delivers us, God, from the hands of evil. You are the God who made a way when there was no way. You became flesh and you dwelled among us. You put yourself through the hassle, God, of the cross, sacrificing yourself on our behalf so that we, God, could have your righteousness put to our account and And God, we could not be more thankful. And help us, God, to not take it for granted. Father, as we come together this morning as a church, help us to keep our eyes focused on the mission. To keep our eyes firmly focused on Christ, who has called us to go into all the world and make disciples of all people. To glorify your name, O God. God, we lift up those of us in a more personal way, God, those of us who are struggling with sin. For the Holy Spirit is constantly at work in us and constantly at war with the sinful nature. God, deliver us from it. Through your Holy Spirit, Father, deliver us from the work of sin in our lives. Help us to put those things behind us and to move forward into your righteousness. God, we pray for families who are going through sickness and loss and illness. God, we pray for healing. We pray for peace. We pray for guidance. We pray for joy, even when it makes zero sense for us to have it. God, we thank you for the promise of peace that is found here in Philippians. God, I want to lift up every parent and grandparent that's here. God, that you would bless them in the calling that you've given them as parents. God, that you would be with them as they raise up their children. God, that may they raise up their children in the ways of Christ, that the world may not come in and pull them away. God, we pray for these students. Children, God, as they grow up in a world that has its back turned on you. God, they would be pulled in so many different directions, but God, we pray for your protection over them, Lord, that you would deliver them from the hands of the enemy. And God, help us to be obedient to your call. Not only as parents, God, but just as people within this church family, God, that we would come together and support the next generation. God, we lift up those of us who are not here with us today, that you would keep them safe, whether they're traveling or anything else. Lord, just pray for their safe return. God, thank you. Thank you so much for everything you've done for us. I could never beg enough for your help to help for us to finish this race with perseverance. Be with us, Lord Jesus, as we continue to worship you this morning. May we put a smile on your face, God. May our hearts be turned to you and not towards ourselves. We ask, God, that you'll speak through Sean and comfort any nerves he may have as he's coming to bring your word this morning. Help us, God, to learn something. Help us to draw near to you. Help us to surrender to your will. For your word tells us that many are the plans in a man's heart. But it is the Lord's will that prevails. And God, we trust you, and we surrender everything that we are to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's people agree and said, amen. You may be seated.
Our scripture reading comes out of Matthew chapter 14 this morning, and here's what the word of the Lord says. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the winds was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand and start to fall, and all those lonely roads that I have traveled on, there was Jesus. Into the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, man who needs amazing kind of grace,
oh, yeah,
for forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay. I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. There was Jesus. Searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it. On the mountain, in the valleys, oh, in the shadows of the alleys, oh, in the fire, in the flood,
there was Jesus.
One who is and is to come. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus.
Thank you, Carrie, Kathy, and Liv. We are truly blessed here at the Forks. I've only been here for a few weeks, but I've found out we have some incredibly talented folks here. Let's give them one more big round of applause. Well, good morning. Oh, it's so, once again, it's just so happy to be here with you. I love it when we get to come together on Sunday morning and just to get to sing. And you were singing so beautifully. And then we get to look into God's Word, which I am excited to do with you this morning. If you haven't met me, or we haven't met formally, my name is Sean Sherwood, and my wife and I, Kelly, just got here a few weeks back, and I thank you so much. You've all been so kind and gracious to us and welcoming, and I want to just tell you a little bit about myself before we kind of get into the sermon, because we haven't had a chance to meet formally, I guess. We're from Jacksonville, Florida, originally. We're high school sweethearts. We've been married for 14 years. We've been leading worship together for 16 years at churches. And we love just to sing, and we love to be with God's people. We lived in Kentucky about 7-8 years ago. About 7 or 8 years, I take that back. And then, as many of you probably experienced during COVID, it kind of put things in perspective. And so we began to kind of pray, and God opened the door for us to move closer to our family in Savannah, Georgia. And we called that our Savannah sabbatical, because we knew deep down inside we'd be back in central Kentucky. And then God began to work in Kelly's heart about a year ago. And men, you can agree with me, if you have a wife, you understand that happy wife, happy life, right? And the wife always gets the calling from God before you do in a lot of cases. So God began working in her heart, and I said, no, I'm not ready to go yet. I'm enjoying it too much. And then God began working in my heart, and we said, well, we don't have jobs. We don't know what the timing is on this. And I sent my resume over. I saw the Forks position posted for the associate pastor, and I said, well, let's just see what God does. And sure enough, God does what he does best, which is pave a path. And he did. And so we are just so honored to be here. This has been such an incredible journey to get here, and God opening every door. In fact, 2 weeks after I got my confirmation, I think it was, Kelly received her confirmation to be at East Jessamine High School as the choir director. And, you know, we just are so thankful for God and his grace and his provision. And we're just excited to be here. And so, yeah, thank you. That's too kind. I know you're missing Pastor Todd, as we all are, so I thought I would just dive into the Pastor Todd dad jokes for a moment, okay? Just one, and to give me a courtesy laugh like the 8:30 service, that would be wonderful, okay? Here it goes. So I have a friend of mine who he loves riding horses, and he goes over to this horse stable, and there's a sign. And it's a lot like church. We have every type of people here. Same thing there. It said, for short people, we have short horses. For tall people, we've got tall horses. For large people, we've got large horses, and for small people, we have small horses. And he said, I looked at the very bottom, and there's this very fine statement at the bottom that says, and for those who have never ridden a horse, we have horses that have never been ridden. So anyway, there's my there's my attempt, Todd, if you're watching. That's for you, Pastor. Appreciate you so much. We're looking forward. I know they've had a great time of family vacation. I know he's excited to get back, and they'll be back with us next week. So we read Matthew 14. This is a great, great moment in time. It's a great moment in the ministry of Jesus, his earthly ministry. And so we're going to take this. There's many ways we can go with this today, and so we're going to kind of hit on some things. But this is one of the greatest moments that I think proves how great God is in so many different ways. I think this is a moment in time where we see faith tested in a way that is very big. I think this is a moment in time we see how great Jesus was and how he cares for us so deeply. And so we're going to journey through this, because I'll be honest, you and I both, we can agree with this, we're going to have storms come through in life. It's just life. Storms are going to come, and they're going to be trying, and we're going to have to go through them. That's a given. That is how life works. It would be different if it wasn't. Secondly, we're going to have opportunities in life to step out of our comfort zone. So to step out of the boat, so to speak, as we see Peter does. And so this morning, the way we can get through those storms, the way we can true and honestly step out of the boat is by faith and trusting in Jesus, that he is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. And so as we look at this today, I want us to kind of have that lens, those glasses on, to look through that lens and say, okay, am I trusting God in every storm of my life? Am I fully devoted in faith to him in those decisions that have to be made, those opportunities where I have to step out of my comfort zone? Because I don't know you personally, but there are people in the room and watching online who are going through a storm right now. You cannot see the clear skies. Some of you have just gone through a storm, and you're like, whew, I can breathe now. That was tough, but I can breathe. And then some of you have been out of a storm, and you know this, because we can agree, I think, on all this, is that there's a storm going to happen, and you're just praying up. You're like, God, give me the strength to weather the next storm. Likewise, there are some of you who are in a boat, and an opportunity has been placed in front of you. And two things about it I'm sure of. One is, first off, you may not be sure, is this what God wants for my life? And then secondly, you're thinking to yourself, I don't know if I can step out. And so when we look at this passage this morning, that's what we need to really gain. And see how the disciples and Peter and Jesus, how they all handled this situation. And so let's kind of get some context. So right before this happened, the first verse we read was, immediately Jesus had the disciples go out in their boat. He left to pray. So let's kind of back up a little bit. I never want to take for granted that we have, everybody's a Bible scholar. I don't want to take that for granted, okay? So right before this happened, had a big meal, okay? The feeding of the 5,000. So we had some fish, some loaves, fed a lot of people, okay? I don't know how many of you have fed 5,000 before. I'm pretty sure that was a pretty exhausting undertaking, right? So we just fed the 5,000. So I'm sure there was a lot of things going on as far as there was probably some exhaustion and the crowds were probably dispersing and, you know, Jesus knew this. But then we go beyond this moment in time. Jesus, being omnipotent, all-knowing, he knew that the triumphant entry into Jerusalem was fixing to happen very soon, which, as we all know, hopefully will lead to the events of his betrayal, his crucifixion. So Jesus knew this was a heavy time he was going into. So the first thing, and we could spend weeks on just this idea alone, is that he went to pray by himself. So just, we're not going to go deep into that, but let me just say, if you're not having a conversation with the one who gives you faith and strengthens your faith, how do you expect your faith to be strengthened? That's what I want you to get from just that moment. This is literally one verse, right? Two verses, roughly. We have to be in constant communication with our Heavenly Father. So important. But like I said, we could spend weeks on that. So let's move forward into the story. And so Jesus says, sends them off. They go out, and it gets late at night. And when he did that, evening came, he was there alone. And the disciples were out, and they were in a boat. Now let's keep in mind, the wind and waves started crashing. It was very uncomfortable, okay, as you could imagine. Very uncomfortable. And for the wind of the waves were against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. So let's break down this little section. So they weren't on a Royal Caribbean ship, okay? Let's just go ahead and preface that. Not on a big carnival ship. They were probably on a very small fishing vessel, okay? They're out in the Sea of Galilee, probably 2-3 miles, a few miles offshore. And when it said in the fourth hour of the night, it's probably about 3 to 6 a.m. So it's really late at night. Let's be honest, they're probably exhausted, okay? The winds are hitting them. The waves are crashing. They're in a small boat. I don't know if you've ever been in a boat when that's going on. I've been on a cruise ship when that happens, and that was terrifying to a certain extent. But I can only imagine a much smaller ship would be even more terrifying. So they're in this boat, they're losing their minds. They're like, oh my goodness. They're just so scared, as I assume any of us would be. Well then, I don't know about this happened to you before. They're terrified, they look out, they see somebody walking on the water. I don't know about you, but I haven't seen that lately. Anybody? No? Okay. It's okay, good. If you had, so meet me at the end of the service. I'd love to talk with you. But so they see a man walking on the water. I probably would have done the same thing. It's a ghost, because I would have been terrified. Let's be honest, right? So I'm already exhausted. The waves are hitting my boat. Me and the disciples, there's 12 of us right in the boat. The waves are hitting, the winds are, and I just look out, and there's probably lightning, let's imagine, right? Lightning and thunder, because that's usually what accompanies wind and, really bad storms. And then lightning strikes, and I see a figure. And I'm like, I don't think I eat that much fish and loaves. And then we look out again, and we see lightning strikes again, we see another figure. I would probably be slightly scared. I don't know about you. I don't do well in haunted houses or anything, but that would probably scare me, right? Am I alone in that, or would that scare you too? That was, hopefully, maybe. You're more courageous than me. So they yell, "It's a ghost." and they're terrified. We could stop the story there, right? That's where it ends. No, it's not. What happens? Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, says, "It is I. Do not be afraid." That, to me, is a very special moment. Because the disciples who have been with Jesus all this time, right? They're just humans like we are. There's nothing super special about the disciples. They are common folk like you and I. They were completely terrified. They see this, what they think is a ghost, and Jesus says, "I'm going to calm their fears easily," right? This is what's, he's going to calm their fears. He's going to say, "It is I, do not be afraid." But did they really get calm, right? Did the fear go away? I don't know. Let's be honest. This has happened before. We look earlier in the book of Matthew. We see the disciples in the same situation. Jesus, this time, is in the belly of the boat. He's asleep. He's resting. Storm comes. The disciples are like, "Jesus, why are you sleeping?" He's like, "We're going to die." That's what they're like, "We're going to die." Jesus, you know, wakes up. He goes out. Calms the waters. This is where it proves to me that the disciples are just like us. Because in that moment, the moment we're in right now, you would think, "Oh man, I shouldn't be worried. He just said, 'It is I. Do not be afraid.' I remember we were just in a boat, guys, and Jesus came up from resting and he calmed the waters. We're going to be fine." But we don't get that here. And this is why I think we don't get this here, is because they're human. You can take a moment in your time in life where you've had a bad situation, God's answered that, and you've rejoiced, right? We've been, "Thank you, God, you answered that prayer, you got me through that storm, you helped me with getting out of the boat," and then months, weeks, months, years later, something else, another storm comes along, and we forget what he did in the previous storm. I think the disciples are in the same boat, literally and figuratively. They forgot that Jesus calmed the storm before. So their faith has to be strengthened through this. But then we get our, probably my favorite disciple in the whole Bible, old Petey, right? Old Peter. Peter is always ready to jump and just jump in, right? We love Peter. And so Peter says, this is what I love. Peter says, he says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you, and I will come on the water." So Jesus is like, "That's easy." Jesus says, "Come." What happens? Peter gets out of the boat. He walks on water and came to Jesus. But, this is where it gets, once again, he's human. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" This is an important moment in this story because Peter says, "Okay, if it really is you, I'm going to come out on faith. I'm going to step over the ledge of the boat, and I'm going to walk to you in faith if you'll tell me just to come." And what does Jesus say? Naturally, "Come." Because Jesus is like, "Yes, it's me," right? Jesus knew it was him, right? And so Peter walks out of the boat. He starts walking. But like us, we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, but then the storm is happening still, right? The storm hasn't calmed. The winds are blowing, waves crashing, and loses focus on the one who can provide him his path. And he starts looking around. And let's be honest, he probably got a little terrified. And he began sinking. And so he cries out. He says, "Save me." Of course, Jesus, lickety-split, hands down. It's like, Jesus, you know, I think sometimes I wonder, I can't wait to ask him in heaven, "What were you thinking in that moment, God? Whenever you reached down, were you ready to give him a teachable moment, right?" Right? He was like, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" See, that's like us. We want to say, "God, yes, I trust you. I believe in you. I know you're going to do what you say you're going to do, and you are who you say you are." But then the storm starts to stir. And we start looking around, and we start to sink. And sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we stay in that sinking feeling for a while. We don't trust that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. So we don't call out to him until we get desperate. And then we call out to him. See, Peter knew. First off, he was desperate, let's be honest, right? Storm's going. Water's pretty deep. He's going down quick, right? Okay, he's going down quick. So he knows he's got to cry out. But he also knew that he lost sight of what was important, which is keeping his eyes locked on Jesus. So then, you know, Jesus helps Peter up. They step into the boat, and what happens? The winds cease. The storm is done, and immediately the disciples begin praising him. You are truly, you are the Son of God. And I think that statement should speak loudly. And here's why. It goes back to what we talked about a few moments ago. Whenever Jesus said, the disciples said, it's a ghost. And Jesus says, no, it's me. Do not be afraid. I don't think in that moment they truly believed it was him. I think they were doubting. Because why wouldn't they have said earlier on, oh, praise the Lord, it is you. I don't think they believed it in the moment. That's why the writer here, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, put, and they praised him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. That is when they truly believed. Once they could physically see him, and once he got and helped Peter out, and once they got in the boat and the wind ceased, that's what we see. So there's a few things that I want us to apply this to in our life. And a couple of them you're going to think, oh man, this is kind of a discouraging message, but I promise you, hang on, hold to the end. It won't be, because the Word of God is not discouraging. It is encouraging every time. First, storms are going to come. Pretty simple. Said that earlier on. Storms will happen as long as you're living on earth. They're going to happen no matter what. And I'm going to be honest with you. Some of them are going to be rougher than others. Some storms are going to be storms that you don't think that there is going to be clear skies, that you cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel, and you're going to think, what is God doing? Why is he putting me through this? Am I ever going to come out of this storm? And those storms, relational storms, financial storms, you've lost folks in your family. Those are some of the storms we could go through. You lost a job. Your children won't talk to you. Health is deteriorating. There are so many storms that will come your way. But it goes back even further in Matthew, where Jesus talks about where you build your house. See, he warned us about storms earlier on in Matthew. He tells the parable of the builder that builds his house on the sand and the builder who builds their house on the rock. And he says, when the winds and the storms come, the one who built his house on the sand, the house, what? Destroyed, right? It couldn't stand. But the one who built his house on the rock could withstand those storms. And that's where we put our faith. Do you put your faith in worldly, earthly things, thinking that you can find a way out? Or do we put our faith in the one who has already proven numerous times, namely by dying on a cross for our sins, that he is able and just to take care of us? That's the rock. That's where we build the house. So storms will come. Secondly, you're going to have opportunities to step out of the boat. Now, the boat for us, we can kind of put in the concept, and I'm not talking about figuratively step out of a boat. Just saying, if you've ever tried to do that, you know what happens, right? You kind of just go down, right? Okay, that's usually what happens. But stepping out of the boat for us is stepping out of our comfort zone. Maybe God is putting something in your life. Maybe he put a job. Maybe he put a business opportunity, maybe a relationship in your life, and you're just not sure, okay, God, am I supposed to step out on faith on this? Is this what I'm supposed to do? But you got to trust in him so he can give you the answer. We all have opportunities like Peter, okay? We all have opportunities to step out of the boat and walk on faith. Walk on the water on faith. I'll use this as an example, and I say this joking. I was at a church one time, and some of you might be able to relate, and I told the first service I wouldn't look up when I'm saying this so people don't think I'm talking about them, because there's nobody in this church I'm talking about, but we were, my wife and I were serving at a church, and you know this, you have a pew seat, right? The pew seat that you've always sat in, right? And it's okay, you can laugh about that, because some of you know what I'm talking about. It's okay. We have our pew seat. And so one time, I was coming into church, and I had a very lovely lady came up to me, and she said, Sean, she's like, a visitor is sitting in my seat. And I looked at her, and I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, and I looked around, and I said, if there was only other pews we could sit in. And she's like, I know, but I've sat there. And I said, and I respect that. I understand. I said, all right. I said, well, let's look at it like this. Maybe that's your boat, and you need to step out of your boat and go sit somewhere else maybe. And she's like, well, I mean, it would be uncomfortable. I said, Peter was uncomfortable, I'm sure, when he stepped out of the boat. And she kind of laughed, and she's like, you know, you're right. She's like, it's not my seat. And I was like, okay, great. And so some of us, maybe that's as simple as it may sound, right? Maybe simple as it's our seat we've always sat in, and somebody came and sat, and now we got to sit somewhere else. But some of it is more serious. Kelly and I, great example. We knew we were coming back to Central Kentucky, and no jobs. We didn't have any jobs to go to, and I'm thinking, well, you know, last time I checked, you know, it takes money to make things work, and you can't just, you know, move and hope for the best. You know, hope for the best. We never hope. We trust in God. And so I was like, well, if we're supposed to move back to Central Kentucky, let's pray that God opens the doors, right? We want to step out of the boat, because we knew. So we began preparing our way in Savannah with our family and our friends and said, you know, we just really feel like God's calling us to go back to Central Kentucky. I don't know what it looks like. I wish I did, because I'm a numbers guy. And so it's just, I was calculating everything in my head, and I was like, okay, I'm going to trust in the Lord always, right? Again, I say rejoice. And so God then began to open the opportunity. You know, Forks called, and I said, okay, maybe God's putting something together. We should never doubt him, right? And so I came up, of course, and the rest is history. But we had to step out of the boat. We had to say, okay, God, we're trusting you to leave the comfort zone of Savannah and come back to Kentucky, not knowing what was in the path ahead of us. So you're going to have opportunities come your way to where you're going to have to trust God and step out of the boat. Now, at this point, you're probably like, oh, man, this is really depressing. I'm talking about where storms always going to come my way, and now I got opportunities, and I'm going to have to make these decisions. Well, we're not done yet. Here's the beauty of what comes next. Your faith will be required to weather the storms, to take advantage of the opportunities. Your faith will be required. If you were here Wednesday night, we looked at James 1, and there's one verse in James 1 in particular that really hones in on this, and it says this. And I love the cross-referencing between the passage in Matthew and James. This is what it says. But let him, talking about us, ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Do you see the connection here? I love when the scripture does this. It does it quite often. We're just supposed to go to him and ask for faith, ask in faith of him without doubting. So many times I think we forget that. I overanalyze, right? Paralysis by analysis. Have you ever heard of that before? But I do that sometimes. And I think we do that with our spiritual life. When it's just as simple as us going to God and saying, Lord, I need your help. I mean, there's no formula. It's really that simple. Just, God, I need your help. The storm of life is battering me down, and I have nowhere else to turn. I need to turn to you. And I'm going to trust in faith, knowing that you are the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that your blood covered all my sins. I know and believe that you are going to answer. Sometimes our human brain takes over, and we forget that. We forget and we put God in this box and we say, okay, God, I'm going to come to you and trust in you with these little things. But when the big things come along, we forget that he spoke and everything came into existence. Okay, did you hear that? God spoke. He said, let there be light. There was light. He said, let the land and the water separate and create those two. And it happened. He decorated the sky with the stars that declare the glory of his name. He's that big, church. Like, he's that big to where he positioned earth just the right distance from the sun, where if we were a few degrees further, we'd freeze, or a few degrees closer, and we would disintegrate. Like, that's the God we're talking about. The God the disciples said, it's a ghost. He said, no, it is I. Do not be afraid. And he reached down to Peter when Peter was sinking, and he said, I've got you, my child. That's the God we're talking about. We're not talking about a little teeny God. We're talking about a God who loves you unconditionally, who sent his only son as the perfect spotless Lamb of God to take away not just your sins, but the sins of the world for eternity. I don't know about you, but that excites my spirit to know that I can call him and say, Father, I am struggling. God, this storm in my life is terrible, and I need you. I trust and know that you are the same God both day in and day out. Your power reigns supreme. That's God. But our faith is required. Faith is trusting in the things we haven't seen. I'll use this example. So I was teaching in, a few years back and had a white sheet of paper. We're talking about faith. And, you know, of course, we know faith. The Bible tells us to have faith like a mustard seed. And I know we probably got some farmers in here. But mustard seed is super small, right? You can barely see it. So we had to tape it onto a white sheet of paper, and then we had to draw an arrow so you could see where that is. That is the faith we are required to have. But if you're sitting in the room and you've never experienced the life-saving name of Jesus in your life, this means nothing to you. Faith is just a word that you hear. But that can change. We'll get to it in a second. So faith is required. But last, and probably the most important thing, and it seems cliche, but this is so incredibly true, Jesus is always the answer. I heard a little amen. I hear that. Amen. He is. Always, not 99.999% of the time, he is 100% of the time, 100% of the time, he is the answer. Not alcoholism, not pornography, not drugs, none of that will ever give you the answer you want. The only one is Jesus, Jesus himself. I love this verse in Deuteronomy. It says in Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Isaiah 43 says, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. Then this last verse, John 16:33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I, speaking Jesus, I have overcome the world. Church, please hear me out. The one who knit you together in your mother's womb, is what Psalm 139 tells us, and knows the hairs on your head, is the same God who wants to answer every prayer that you ask of him. He is the same God who wants to walk with you through the storms, call you out of the boat, that as long as you keep your eyes on him, he will guide you. That is what he wants. He will never leave you nor forsake you. We just read in Deuteronomy 31. We have nothing to be fearful of. And I know you're sitting here, Sean, you don't know what storm I'm going through. Sean, you don't know what decisions I'm having to make. Sean, you don't know that my husband or my wife just got told that they have cancer. And you're right. I don't. What I can tell you is that our Heavenly Father has his arms open wide and wants you to say, Dad, I need you. I don't know what's going to happen in the end of the storm. I don't know what's going to happen when I step out of the boat. But God, I need you. The storms are not easy. Many years ago, my grandmother, she was a matriarch of our family. She passed away from cancer. And I had the opportunity to take care of her in her final days. She was a very loved woman. She was one of my rocks, one of my earthly rocks. And to tell you how the storms go, they're not easy. Because I remember asking God, why did you let this happen? Why would you take her from us? And I remember very distinctly, at some point, it was during the funeral process, but I remember feeling this overwhelming sense of peace and a still small voice that said, it's okay, my son. I'm with you and I love you. That's all I needed. That's all I needed. I'm with you and I love you. And I knew at that moment how foolish I was to ask God why. Or to question him. But I also knew in that moment, the one who knit me together in my mother's womb and knows the number of hairs on my head is the same God who will guide my steps and lead my path. What if we all decided to do that? What if we all decided to say, you know what, God, we're going to trust in you in these storms from here on out. We're going to trust in you whenever we have to step out of the boat. What if we did that? It would be mind-boggling. Revival wouldn't have to just break out. It would just happen, let's be honest. If we as the global church, the bride of Christ, all decided, and let's be honest, the world is very treacherous right now. If we decided, you know what, God, we're going to trust you no matter what. We're going to trust you knowing that you are our guide. You are a rock. If we did that, it just would be mind-boggling to think what God would do in his church, globally speaking. So I ask you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, where are you in this journey? Some of you sitting in the room are in the middle of a storm, and you just can't see the clear skies, and you just don't know where to go. And you said, Sean, I believe God is who he says he is, and I trust him, but it's just hard. Some of you in this room are going through a moment in which you have this decision you have to make, and you just don't know the right answer. I'm going to tell you this morning, the best thing you can do is just trust him. That's all he wants. Just lean into him this morning. A few moments ago, I also mentioned some of you that don't know who he is, haven't experienced his grace, and haven't experienced his life-saving blood. You can experience that today. Today, this is an opportunity in which you can be set free. You just have to ask Him. He wants you. He wants to be your Heavenly Father, and He is. He just wants you to ask Him into your heart. So today can be your day of salvation. You can begin to experience the freedom we find in Him this morning. So in just a few moments, we're going to stand and we're going to sing together. And JT will be down here to, if you need a word of prayer, he'll be more than happy. He would love to pray with you. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please, please don't let the day go by without doing that. JT would love to tell you about His love and His grace. The altar will be open, but He is always the answer, church. Father, we just thank You for how great You are. We thank You for Your love this morning. God, we thank You that we can call on You in our times of the storms. And we know that You will work in our lives. When we have tough decisions, God, we thank You and know that we can call to You for guidance. So, Father, allow us to be bold and let us come before You this morning. Father, we pray that if someone in this room doesn't know You as their personal Lord and Savior, that today will be their day of salvation. God, we just thank You. We praise You. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and let's sing this.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the sun sets free.
Come on, church.
Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Free at last.
He has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child.
Father's house, sing it out.
In my Father's house. There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Amen.
Number 6. Awesome. Perfect. Thank you, Gene. You guys can be seated for just a moment. It's really exciting in my own heart that I can, if the girls don't mind, come on up here with me. I can just see Riley, right, and Bailey, who have just accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Awesome. And I'd like to also invite Logan, if you're still here, if you didn't have to step out early or not. Maybe he had to step out. Oh, there he is. Logan, if you don't mind, come on up too, bub. So, church, as you know, whenever we get baptized or join the church or anything like that, we also come in with membership. If there's anybody in his family that would like to come up with him, you're welcome to. But I want to kind of put it forward. I'm not as eloquent at this as Pastor Todd, you know, but he says it every week. He says that this is not a perfect church, but we are a good church. And I believe that. Elaine and I have been here for almost a year. We're just a few days away from a full year. So praise God for that. And it has been a great church. And so will you all join me in welcoming these young people as a part and a member, as members of our church? Will you do that in joining and saying amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you all. All right.
Blessed this morning, and I just pray that we take now what we learned in Scripture and we apply it to our life going forward. Pastor Todd, like I said, they'll be back this next week. I'm very excited for them to be back and had a great time of rest as a family and family time that we all need. We all need family time, and so we're so thankful they had that opportunity, and he'll be back Wednesday and then Sunday. I cannot wait to see what God's laid on his heart. One quick announcement, we'll be dismissed. We have an exciting thing happening starting tonight, church, okay? All right, we have Vacation Bible School starting. Are we excited? Oh, come on. Come on. 8:30, come on now. Come on now. I'm going to do that again. All right, we have Vacation Bible School starting. Are you excited? There we go. Yeah, so listen, I want to invite you to be a part of that. If you have a child ages 3 through 5th grade, please sign them up. There's a QR code on the screen here. If you haven't signed up to serve and you'd like to still, there's still opportunity. You can see Mary. She'll be over in the children's wing after the service. Please stop by. But here's the thing. If you're not going to be serving in capacity here, I'm going to ask you to do one thing, and I meant to do this at 8:30. Will you pray for Vacation Bible School? Let me tell you why. This is an amazing opportunity for us to love on and show God's love to children, and it can be impact for the kingdom that we will be just amazed to see. And your prayer, whether you're here physically on campus or not, I'm going to encourage you to pray for God to move in the lives of these children, for the leaders, for Mary. I know she's been working tirelessly. Keep them in your prayers and pray for God to do something supernatural. I'm so excited to see what he does this week at Vacation Bible School.
Well, church, can I pray for you, and then we'll dismiss and go say welcome and congratulations to these young people who have just joined our church. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for all that you do for us. For God, you do not forsake us. You seek us out, God, and you call us by name. So, Lord Jesus, we ask that as we leave from this place, you will equip us for every good work, that, God, we will go out from here and spread the good news that you came as a man and died on the cross for us so that we would not have to face the punishment. You've given us your life. You've accounted your righteousness to our account, God, and we are so grateful. Be with us. Give us the words when we need them. Help us to listen and help us to see your hand moving in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people agree and said, amen. Amen.